Our Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll be reading two verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, and speaking to you on the subject, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now let's look at the text in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Listen carefully. And Paul is writing, and he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony, that is, the gospel of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now listen to that last phrase one more time. "I determined not to know anything among you, anything, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now here's a couple of other verses that I want to share with you. In 1 Corinthians 1:23, Paul said, "But we preach Christ crucified." Now this is the same man, the man who said, "I'm not one whit behind the chiefest apostle, and yet I be nothing." But he was recognized as one of the chief apostles. And he said, "I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And then in summing up his ministry, he said, "We preach Christ crucified." Now listen to another scripture. In Galatians 3:14, the same apostle, he says, But God forbid, that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the reason I'm emphasizing this, I hope you're picking up what I'm saying. I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we sum up our ministry, and this is our message: we preach Christ crucified. And then when he's talking about boasting or glorying, he says, "I glory in nothing, absolutely nothing, not my national prominence or my gifts or my experience or my knowledge or my heritage. I glory in nothing except the cross of Jesus Christ." Now, here's the question. Do these verses mean that every time Paul preached, every time he preached, that he only talked about and only preached about the agony, the suffering, the blood shedding, and the death of Jesus Christ on that cross of wood on Calvary's cross? Is that what these verses mean? Is that what Paul's saying? Every time I get up and preach, every time I open my mouth, I say the cross, the cross, the cross. Is that what he means? No, certainly not. Certainly not. The apostle said in Acts 20, now listen to his own words, speaking to the elders, the leaders of the churches from different areas. He said, "Brethren, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." He said, "I've kept back nothing profitable unto you." Now, my friends, the true minister of Christ, the true servant of God, knows that all Scripture is God-breathed, that all Scripture is given by inspiration, and that all Scripture, the prophets, the writings of Moses, the Psalms, the Gospels, the Epistles, all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, all Scripture. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." By every word of God. And my friends, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Don't forget that. The best commentary, you say, "Where can I get a good commentary?" Well, if you got a Bible, you got one in your hands. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. No Scripture is of any private interpretation. That is, no single verse stands alone. It's got to stand upon the rest of the Word of God. Scripture is interpreted by Scripture. Scripture is interpreted in the light of Scripture. That's what it's saying. That whatever God says in Genesis, He's saying the same thing in Revelation. Whatever God says in the Psalms, He's saying the same thing in the book of Galatians or the book of Thessalonians or whatever. The Scripture is the best interpretation of Scripture. Well, what's Paul talking about? Let's get back on the track. Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. He said to that ancient, powerful city of Corinth, I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, what's he talking about? What's he saying? Well, this is what he's saying. Paul is saying that all scriptural truth and all scriptural teaching is understood, entered into, and experienced in the light of the cross. In other words, he's saying this, if a person understands the redemptive work of Christ on the cross, if a person enters into by faith the sufferings and agony and the redemptive work of Christ, the substitutionary work of Christ on the cross, if he can enter into that, if he can understand it, the Bible will open to him all of its richest treasure and richest truth. If a person understands, if he can camp at Calvary and he can enter into what took place on Golgotha's hill, what took place, what God was doing in the person of His Son on Calvary's cross, if you can camp there, if you can sit down and watch Him there and you can enter into and understand something of what brought Him to that place and what He's accomplishing and why He's there and what He accomplished in His death, the whole Bible from Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to Revelation will open to you in its richest treasures and truth. Here, let me give you a scripture. 1 John 5:20. John said, and we know that the Son of God hath come. The Son of God hath come to this earth, incarnate, God in human flesh, and lived here, and what He said and what He did, He has come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we're in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the true God, and this is eternal life. I'm saying that the cross, the person and work of Christ, the redemptive work on the cross, is the key to the Scriptures. That's what we're saying. Now, if that be true, then this is true. If a person does not understand what took place at Calvary, if he does not enter into the redemptive work on Calvary, in his suffering, in his substitutionary work, in his sin offering, if he does not, by some experience, by faith, enter into and understand that that's not an example that Christ is setting there, that he's not dying as a failure, a reformer, or a martyr. He's dying for a purpose. His sacrifice is unto God and before God and on the count of the righteousness of God, to enable God to be just and justifier of them that believe. Now, if he can't enter into that, listen to me, if he can't enter into the redemptive work of Christ in his obedience and suffering on the cross, the Bible, for all practical purposes, is a closed book. Now, you can drive a nail there, you can camp there, you can consider that and work on that the rest of your days. If a person can come to Calvary, and our Lord said in Lamentations through the prophet Jeremiah, is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, what is it to you? What is it to you? Is there any suffering like the sufferings that have been laid upon me by my Father? What is it to you? What is it to you? Listen to this scripture. In Luke 24:44-46, our Lord was sitting down with His disciples. Now, what I'm saying is this. Now, get me. The cross is the key to the Scriptures. The cross is the key to the Scriptures. And if a man doesn't enter into the meaning of the cross, the Bible's a closed book. And if he can, by the Spirit's revelation, enter into the happenings of Golgotha's hill, the Bible will open up. And I'll show you that. Listen, in Luke 24, our Lord speaking to His disciples, and He said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled which are written in the books of Moses, that's the first five books of the Bible, in the prophets, That's all the major and minor prophets. And in the Psalms, concerning me. And then, watch this next statement now. And then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to die and to rise from the dead the third day. Our Lord Jesus Christ is sitting talking to his disciples and opening their understanding, giving them the key to the Scriptures. And he said the key is that Christ must suffer and die and rise again. And that's what Moses is writing about. That's what David's writing about. That's what Jeremiah's writing about. I said, and I'll say it again, if a man understands and enters by faith into the sufferings of Christ, into the person and work of Christ on the cross, the whole of Scripture, in God's due time, will open to him in its truth and in its beauty, not to embrace the cross, not to enter into the work of Calvary in its redemptive glory, is to close the book once and for all, because the cross is the key to the Scripture. And this is what Paul is saying when he declares to the church at Corinth or to whomever, to whom it may concern, I preach Christ crucified. I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, you may not think I can do it, but I'm going to give you 8 things to enforce in this message, what Paul is saying. Now, let's go back. Let's go back to the beginning. God's eternal purpose. Now, listen to me. You say, well, how can you preach the whole Bible just preaching the cross? And how do you preach the whole Bible when you preach the cross? All right, listen to me. God's eternal purpose. You know this, and I know this. What is God's eternal purpose? What did God purpose and plan from the beginning? To have a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. All that God is doing and has done is to accomplish that which He will do. He'll have a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. No sin, no evil, no disease, no darkness, no death. Everything perfect. And that new heaven and new earth will be populated by people, as He said to Abraham, as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. And they'll be saved out of Adam's race, sinners like you and me. But they'll be washed in the blood of His Son and redeemed by the sacrifice of His Son. Now, those people given to Christ, redeemed by the blood of Christ, will never inhabit that new heaven and new earth, and it'll never be populated to the glory of God, and they'll not have a song of praise and adoration if there be no cross. So I'm saying you can't preach a new heaven and a new earth if you don't preach the cross. You can't preach a redeemed people who forever shall sing the praises of Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own precious blood. You can't even talk about a new heaven and a new earth populated by people perfectly conformed to the image of God's Son unless God's Son comes down here in obedience and suffering and conforms them to His image. That's what I'm saying. So if you preach God's eternal sovereignty and God's eternal purpose and God's eternal plan, and as Jonathan Edwards wrote about, the grand design of God in redemption, you got to come to Calvary because that's where it's accomplished. You see, God put all of His redemptive work in the hands of His Son. He hath put all things, the Scripture said, in His hands, in the hands of Christ. All right, secondly, now stay with me. Paul said, I preach Christ crucified. I'm determined to know nothing but Christ crucified. And I say, when you preach Christ crucified, you preach the whole Bible. Because what meaning can you possibly give to the Old Testament types, sacrifices, ceremonies without the cross? Come with me back to the Garden of Eden. Outside of that garden, two boys come before God to worship God and to bring their offering. Abel brought a sacrifice which God accepted. God had respect to Abel and his offering. What was it? It was a lamb slain and its blood put on the altar. What possible meaning can you give to the death of that lamb, to the blood on the altar, and to God accepting it as a covering and atonement for Abel's sins without the cross of Christ? An animal can't die in the place of a man. An animal can't suffer for man's sin. An animal is not even identified with man. I don't know that animal is a sinner, do you? So it's got to point somewhere else. And Abel's sacrifice points directly to that cross outside the city walls of Jerusalem. And Abel's sacrifice means nothing. The seed of woman, where God promised in Genesis 3:15 that woman's seed would bruise the serpent's head. Who is the serpent? Well, you know that's Satan. And what is his head? His government, his control, his power. Well, how's the seed of woman? You know who that is, Christ. In what way can he bruise the serpent's heel or head, conquer his power, subdue his kingdom, unless he dies and puts away sin and defeats him in sacrifice? It means nothing. Go on down through the Old Testament. What about the Passover lamb in Egypt? Without the cross, it means nothing. It's nothing but a slaughterhouse. It's nothing but cutting a bunch of lamb's throats and having a good meal of mutton before the evening. That's all it means without the cross. What does the brazen serpent lifted up in the wilderness mean? Except the Son of Man be lifted up. It means nothing. You see that? Those people in the wilderness were sinners. They were murmuring against God. And God told Moses to make a serpent in the likeness of the fiery serpents that had bitten the people and lifted up on a pole. And whosoever looketh would live. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It means nothing without the cross. Well, what about the smitten rock from which Moses attained water for the people? The rock was smitten and it gave forth water. Our Lord Jesus was smitten of God and afflicted, and he gives forth the cleansing, sanctifying, flowing stream of his righteousness for us. And then when God would give them water the second time from the rock, he told Moses, don't you smite the rock now, speak to it. And Moses smote it anyway, and God killed him. That's exactly right. He told him he wouldn't enter the promised land because he'd not sanctified God before the people. He'd spoil that type. That rock's Christ, who's smitten once. And you don't crucify Christ over and over again. Christ is crucified once, and by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And you can't preach that smitten rock unless you preach Christ. What about the priesthood? What about the old priest once a year who'd go into the Holy of Holies and put the blood on the mercy seat, over covering over the table of stone, the Ten Commandments? What does that mean? Well, it means nothing without the cross. The priest means nothing without the sacrifice of Christ. How much Scripture is devoted to blood sacrifice? Now, you just go through the Scripture. Sacrifices, offerings, all of them are fulfilled in Christ crucified. And that's the reason Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. I've determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. And you take that one key, and it'll open every verse of Scripture. And then thirdly, listen. The early writings of the apostles, all of them were devoted to and had to do with the incarnation of Christ. The angel appeared to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to have a son. She said, how can these things be? I don't know a man. He said, that holy thing born in thee shall be the Son of God. And then that angel went to Joseph and said, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, because that holy thing born of her is called the Son of God. And then the angel appeared to the shepherds on the Judean hillsides and said, glory to God, we bring you good tidings of great joy. Unto you is born a Savior in the city of Bethlehem, Christ the Lord. In other words, Jesus Christ, God's Son, the divine God, came down here to this earth and took a human body and walked on this earth. Why? For what purpose? What purpose could it possibly serve for God to become a man? Well, there's one purpose it serves. In order to redeem us, he had to do two things. And to do these two things, he had to have a human body. These two things could not be done without a human body. These two things could not be done without God becoming a man. You see, and here are the two things. The law of God wasn't given to God. God gave it to man. And he said, keep it and live. Break it and die. And that has not changed since God gave it. It's still so. And if you choose to live under the law, if you choose to be judged by the law, if you choose to meet God on the foundation of the law, that's the orders that come from the throne. Do it and live, break it and die. And to offend in one point is to be guilty of the whole thing. So in order for God to redeem us, we got to keep that law. We got to keep it in the flesh. Well, we can't keep it. Well, that's the reason Christ took the flesh and became a man as our representative. By one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. By another man's obedience, we were made righteous. By one's disobedience, we fell. By one's obedience, we were restored. Both were men. Both were in the flesh. Both were under the law. One of them broke it and failed. One of them perfectly fulfilled it and restored us. In Christ we live. In Adam we die. And in order to do that, he had to become a man. Now, what's the second thing? The justice of God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, that hasn't changed. That's still so. God will punish sin. God will by no means clear the guilty. That's always been so. It's so now. It's so now. God cannot overlook sin. We've got to be punished. Our sins have got to be punished. The soul that sinneth, not ought to, might, shall, underscore it, surely die. That's so. Those two things haven't changed. Do this and live. That's the holy, perfect, infinite, immaculate law of God, immutable. The soul that sinneth shall die. It shall. It will. No question about it. So Christ took the flesh, human body. God can't die. And all the men in all the world could die and not satisfy God's justice. So God came, who can satisfy in the body of a man who can suffer, and he died. You see what I'm saying? And you can't preach the law of God. You can't preach the justice of God. You can't preach the incarnation of Jesus Christ without preaching the cross. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world. Why? To save sinners, comma, of whom I am the chief. All right, the resurrection of Christ. How do you preach that without preaching his death, his cross? He became the first fruits of them that slept. But there's no resurrection if there's no death. Christ died and then he arose again. How do you know the Father is pleased with the sacrifice of Christ? How do you know the Father hath accepted on our behalf what Christ accomplished? Threefold. God raised him from the dead. God took him to glory. And God sat him down on his right hand. That's the threefold evidence that God has accepted. But all of this is the result of his death. You have to die to be buried. And you have to die to rise again. And Christ died. And you can't preach the resurrection without starting at the cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. And then in the next place, listen to this. Faith looks to the crucified Savior. Let me read you John 3:14 again. Now listen to it. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him, believeth on whom? On the lifted up Savior. Now you can believe on the babe in Bethlehem's manger, do you no good. You can believe on even a healing Christ, even a good moral person. But he said, now look, as Moses lifted up the serpent, those people were looking to a serpent on a pole who was hanging there under the judgment of God in their place. And whosoever believeth on Christ as the uplifted Savior, the Son of Man must be lifted. And he said, and if I be lifted up, crucified, I'll draw all men to me, to a lamb, to a sacrifice, to a sin offering, to a crucified Savior. My faith looks to thee, thy Lamb of Calvary. I hope you get this. This is so important. My faith looks to thee, thy Lamb of Calvary. Ere since by faith I saw the stream, his flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme. And will be till I die. The object of faith, and faith's got to have an object. There's no such thing as salvation by a generality of faith. It's a faith that's pinpointed and zeroed in on a reason. And that reason is, I once was lost, but now I'm found, and by God's grace I'm heaven bound. My only hope, my only plea is when He died, and when He died, and when He died, He died for me. That's so important. And then in the next place, how do you account for the two ordinances God gave the church? You know what they are? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. How do you preach them? How do you observe them? How do you talk about them? Only in the light of the cross. Baptism pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The Lord's table is the broken bread and the wine, which is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you preach the ordinances, you have to preach the cross. Then watch this. The fruit of the Spirit in a believer's life is based on Christ crucified. Love, He said, love one another as I have loved you, and greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And as Christ laid down his life for us, the Scripture said we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Peace, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How do we have peace with God? Justified by the cross. Humility, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Forgiveness. Forgive one another as Christ, as God for Christ's sake forgave you. Giving. Paul taught us to give as Christ, who was rich, for our sakes became poor. Then the second coming. How do you preach it without the cross? I come and my reward is with me. What reward? The reward He purchased at Calvary. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I come again, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. What He has accomplished, He's bringing with Him in His return. And that accomplishment was Calvary. You get the title of the message, Jesus Christ and Him Crucified. If you want it on tape, it'll have another message on the back I'll be bringing next week entitled Moses' Prayer. Write to me. The tape costs $2. If you want it, we'll send it to you. Until next week, God bless you is my prayer.